Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sis, can you hear? Online?
Yes.
Okay. Great, great, great.
Awesome.
All right. Mom Swan is moving today.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, in her RV resort, she has to move every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
So in Florida, you have to move every 2 weeks because the demand is so great.
Oh.
And so they had her schedule moving for on Sunday, but she asked them after this one to change it to Wednesday. So so she did say she may be able to log on later, but she had to move. All right. Glory to God. Glory to God. God bless us, man. All right. Father, we thank you for the word, Lord, for this word. It was already in your heart, Lord, and just how you do it, miraculous how you do it, to how you transfer from your infinite, unlimited mind into the minds of fallible people. Just the depth and the richness and the broadness of your word, Lord. So by your Holy Spirit, Lord, by faith I stand here to deliver your word to your people. By faith, Lord God. And so, Father, as in always, you are Lord and King. You're Lord and King here, you're Lord and King over me. You are Lord and King, Lord. And I expressly submit my entire being to you, that, Lord, you speak what needs to be heard today. Now, Holy Spirit,
yes, God.
Even in the delivery of this word, Holy Spirit, by no means can it cover any or everything without you. And so we give you full reign for each person that's here, each person that may hear later. Full reign to speak,
yes,
to clarify, to make clear to each one. Customize, we ask in Jesus'
in
name.
Jesus.
Amen. And that's something. When we honor the word of God, we understand it's the very life of God.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Glory to Jesus.
Bless his name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless his name.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, we're going back to Hebrews chapter 4.
Good.
We are going back and we're going to continue a bit talking about the rest of God. So I'm going to summarize briefly what we talked about last week, so that we can catch up and kind of all jump in one accord, one mind. Chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through, let me do it. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. But then we're going to focus a bit on chapter 3. So, to catch us up, the Holy Spirit inspired this writer of Hebrews, to write about this subject called the rest of God. By the Holy Spirit, knowing that even in that day, as this writer was addressing some specific things, that those things could be translated to our day today. And so the writer of Hebrews talked a lot about when the Lord was trying to or had planned to take the first generation of the Israelites into the promised land. And they stood at the promised land and they said no. I mean, look, they just said no, we're not going in.
Yep.
And if that wasn't enough, they said, no, we're not going in. As a matter of fact, we're going back to Egypt.
Ooh, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus.
Lord, make you grab your heart. Except for Joshua and Caleb. And so now this writer of Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit, now brings us a message today that says, listen here, there still remains a rest to the people of God. And they, he says, that enter into that rest have ceased from their own works.
Jesus.
See, as God did from his. So we talked about last night that rest, the rest of our day, is salvation itself. See, back in the olden times, back in the Old Testament days, when the folks said, no, we don't need your rest. We're going back to Egypt. It was an actual land. God was taking the children of Israel into a land, the land of promise, the land he had promised Abraham way back in the day that he would take his people to. He said, listen, you all, go in this land, and when you get there, there are going to be buildings that's already built. You're not going to have to build these buildings, and these houses are going to be filled with good things. You're not going to have to buy. The wells are already going to be dug, and it's going to have everything you need. Why? Because I'm the Lord your God.
Yes.
And I take care of you, and I protect you, and I give you a purpose.
Yep.
The nations are afraid of you because of me, see? Mm. See, but they stood there and they said, no, we're not doing it. And so this the Holy Spirit, using this author, is adamant about this thing. See? And he continues to say, the rest remains, the rest remains.
Yes, yes.
Verse 1, let us therefore fear, he says, lest the promise being left us of entering to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that's as God said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
Jesus.
For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest.
Jesus.
Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Again, see, we see how the Holy Spirit is just adamant about wanting to convince these folks that he's writing to, to us today. There is this place. There is called the rest of God. It exists. It truly exists, he continues to say. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Yes. Or last Sunday we talked about verse 3, where he says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. And so what we know here is the rest for us New Testament Christians, the rest of God is salvation. It's salvation which we receive when we believed on Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And you know what else it is? It's a gift. We didn't have to work for it. We didn't have to earn it. It was given to us as a gift, a gift of God's love. He just gave us this place called rest. And in this place called rest, or let's say the status. Can we say that? I don't want you to think it's a location. We're in the status of rest. And in that place is where God says, I am your father, he says to us. And we are his children. You are my children. So we know then that in this place of rest comes the finished work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God had all of God's protection and provision and all of his purpose God had for him in healing and whatever it was, he had no want because why? He's the Son. And so now that we are in Christ, in salvation, we are also heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So therefore, the rest of God was given to us. It was just given to us. Anybody happy about that?
Yes. Yes.
Glory to God. Yes. It was given to us.
Amen.
Glory to God in Jesus Christ, because we believe on his son, Jesus Christ. God made it so easy for us. I believe in Jesus. Hear the gospel. The gospel does the work. When you hear the gospel, it's the one that does the work in your heart, then on the inside. You hear the gospel, and the gospel, and the Holy Spirit is clicking around, and you sitting there, you don't want to cry. You don't want to cry sitting there. You heard the gospel. Yeah. You know you all wrong. Oh, I just need Jesus. I don't want to go. But yet and still, you're compelled because you heard the gospel. It's the power of the word of God that saves us. And then we say, okay, yes. Jesus, yes. I need you. I believe that you're the Son of God. And at that moment.
Glory, Jesus.
Oh my goodness. At that moment, our total insistence on the inside changes. It's a gift. A gift. Now, before I get that far, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's take a look over in chapter 3. Now, I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to suggest that you read it all. Because this is, as I was studying, this really stuck out to me. And it, there are, let me count them again. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times in one chapter, the Holy Spirit has inspired this author 6 times in one chapter to talk about the hardening of the heart. It was the hardening of the heart that kept the first generation of Israelites out of the promised land. So, you remember how we said the Bible gives us little tools, like devices that when we see them, it, as you're studying the word, it's supposed to make you think, and repetition is one of them. And so if hardening of the heart was mentioned 6 times, then we know there's something important about hardening of the heart. And so as I found that out, I said, well, let me go and discover this. The Holy Spirit tells us today that the reason, the only reason, the first generation of Israelites did not go into the promised land, did not go into God's rest, there was only one reason. It was called unbelief. And the unbelief came out of the hard heart, the hardening of the heart. There was only one. It intrigued me that, well, Lord, it wasn't because of any other sin. Like, you know, they were off the chain. Like, they were doing all kinds of things that the Lord told them not to do. But yet and still, it was not those sins that kept them out of the promised land. It was only because of unbelief. And so, as we talked about last Sunday, unbelief is not doubt. Doubt is, I believe in God, a doubt is, but now I'm challenged with believing something that I have to grow up into believing. That's doubt. Unbelief is simply this, what God called it. Stubbornness. Stiff-necked. You know what he said? They call them stiff-necked people. Stubbornness. They just simply chose. You see, and the reason it made God angry, because, I mean, come on now. Remember the Red Sea? And remember, you used to be in bondage, but I brought you out, God would say. And with a mighty hand, don't you remember the miracles that I wrought, God would say to them, for you to come out of? And wait a minute, when they left Egypt, did they leave broke?
No.
The Bible said they spoiled Egypt. So they brought all of the riches out of Egypt with them. And then they're in the wilderness, and water's coming out of the rock, and you've got fire that's leading you here, and clouds covering up the heat, and get you to the promised land. And then you stand there and say to God, no. Unbelief. The hardening of the heart just simply made the decision. I just choose. Yeah, I know you, God. You're good and all that. But I'm going to do it my way. Now we're going to do it. We're going back to you.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so,
Jesus.
Obviously, this writer being inspired by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit himself, as this message had come generations to generations, it is obviously a subject that we must at least address. The hardening of the heart. Oh, but I got good news for you. I have good news. See, one of the reasons I'm understanding as I'm studying and praying with the Lord, one of the reasons that we're going through this message here is so that we understand, that we comprehend who we are. See, in the Old Testament, the Bible says, I'm going to read it. No, maybe I won't. Let me just quote it. I'm going to mess it up, but this is close. You're going to know what I'm saying. The Bible says in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, as a matter of fact, Jeremiah chapter 17, I believe it is. He says, Jeremiah 17, he says, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it?
Who can know it?
The NIV says, oh, here it is. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's in Jeremiah. But what we need to understand is this. What's that have to do with us? Don't have anything to do with me. How do we know that? Well, Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5 says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The children of God, those of us now who have received the Holy Spirit, we can no longer believe that our hearts are deceitfully wicked and beyond cure. Because why? We received the gift. The gift of the promise. We received the gift. And back in Jeremiah, he also said, and Ezekiel 36, he said this. He says, he was talking to the same generation. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put in within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now remember when we said God was making these promises to the Israelites. He said, this is what I'm going to do, but not for you. This is for generations to come. They knew that they would receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, but we are that generation.
Yes, we are.
See, we are that generation.
Yes, we are.
You see, that's us. Yes. And so therefore, now that we know we've been given this gift and our hearts have been changed, completely changed, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, then we know then just by who we are. That our hearts are not hard.
No.
And see, I wanted some real deep discovery for you all today. But here is the deep discovery. Is this, that we already have become, that we are already in the rest of God.
Jesus.
And now, our responsibility is verse 11. We need to remain. Remain in the rest. There's a labor to remain in the rest. There's a labor to remain in that rest. Now let's talk. Talk with me. Glory to God. Now, this is what we need to understand. When the Bible speaks of heart, let's understand what that is. Because the Bible speaks of heart differently than we do. And over the years, you know, we've come through the scientific era and we've come through the Greek era where, you know, thinking was elevated above everything. You know, philosophy was the thing, the use of the mind and the scientific era. And so now, in our generation, we believe that in our mind is where we make our decisions, you know, in our mind, our will, the thoughts are in our, comes from our mind, and everything, the center of us is our mind, and the heart is only the emotion. You know, that's feelings. You know, heart is feelings. Mm-hmm. That, you know, in our culture, that's kind of how we understand. Mm-hmm. So what we need to understand today is when this Bible was written, they didn't think that way. And so when the Bible says, speaking from the heart, mm-hmm. it's speaking of the entire person on the inside. Mm. Everything on the inside. It will include the will. It will include your personality. It will include your thinking. It will include your ability to reason, to understand. It includes your emotions. It includes everything on the inner part of you mm-hmm. is heart. Mm-hmm. 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 So when God says, I will give you a new heart. Mm-hmm. What he's saying is, what I'm going to do is transform you totally on the inside. Mm. And it's important for us to make that distinction because, again, in our culture, we would have a tendency to separate. Yeah. But God sees it from the Bible as a whole person on the inside. Thank you, Jesus. And so, when Romans 5:5 says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, mm-hmm. the love of God is shed abroad in the total inside of who we are. The love of God is shed abroad on our personality, on our purposes, on how we think, on our perspectives, mm-hmm. on our emotions. Mm-hmm. The love of God is shed abroad, how? Through the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us. So, therefore, then, when we now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, mm-hmm. that says, when we got saved, the old man passed away, yes. and behold, all things yeah. have become new. Yeah. We understand with the understanding of what that heart means, that everything on the inside of us became new.
Yes.
We're transformed new on the inside. Mm. Completely.
Completely.
On the inside. And now, and what's important for us to know that is so that we don't find ourselves trying to get what we already have. We're not trying to get new. We're already new. So that we're not wasting time,
yes.
spinning wheels.
Yes.
You'll get frustrated yes. if you're trying to get something you already have. Let's understand, children of God, we already have it. We're already brand new, on the inside. So that now we can place our focus on, now, how do we work it out? Mm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless his name. And so, then how do we work it out? Let me go here for a minute before I get there. This is how important our inner being called the heart. The Bible says, let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs, well, you can go if you want. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read them pretty fast so you can write them down. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this, keep your heart
yes.
with all vigilance. For from it flow the springs of life.
Mm.
Keep your inner side of you. Mm-hmm. Keep it. Keep what? Guard. Mm. That's our responsibility,
that's
right?
Responsibility.
Guard
yep. Yep.
your heart.
Yep.
Guard the yep. innermost inside of you. Because out of it flows the springs of life. Watch this. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes,
mm-hmm.
but the Lord weighs the heart. Here's Miss Viola's.
Yes.
Proverbs 3,
uh-huh.
5 and 6.
Uh-huh.
Trust in the Lord with all your what?
Heart.
Glory to God. That means trust in the Lord with your mind, with your will, with your efforts, with your emotions, with your personality. Trust in the Lord and do not lean into your own understanding.
Yes.
In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Isn't that another way of saying enter into the rest of God and cease from your own works?
Jesus.
That's just another way of saying
Jesus.
This.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The Bible, Matthew. Oh, I like this one. Proverbs 27.
Mm-hmm.
says, as in water, faith reflects faith. I said, apparently they didn't have mirrors back in that day. So you know, you go to the water's clear, you look in the water, you see your face. As in water, faith reflects faith. I didn't actually write it down, but Proverbs 27. So the heart of man reflects man. The heart of man reflects man. Again, that's your innermost, the inner side of you. That's your center where you operate from. As your inside is your heart. And now we have learned that the Holy Spirit of God has come and taken control of our inner self.
Jesus.
He's taking control.
Jesus.
Of your personality.
Jesus.
Of your will.
Yes.
Of your desire.
Yes.
He's taking control.
Yes.
Of your emotion.
Oh,
of your feeling. Of your desires. He is taking control. I know, I see it on your face. If he did, then how come I got a whole lot to say about my own life? And if he did, then
right.
If he took control, then you know what? What's the deal if he took control? Let us therefore, let us labor therefore. The Bible says to enter into that rest. We understand what that means. To remain in that rest. To grow up in the rest of God, where we have ceased from our own work.
Yes.
Let us grow up in that. Let us continue to work and labor in that, to grow up, to develop this place whereby we trust God with our entire beings always. That's what verse 11 is saying. Well, how are you going to do that? Bible interprets Bible.
Yes. Yes.
Verse 12, this is how you're going to do it.
Yes.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This word is to be how we do that. This is how we accomplish resting completely, entirely on the word of God. Why? Because what the Bible is telling us is, as we are engaged in this word, we're reading it, we're studying it, we're meditating on it. As we come together with the saints, we hear the word preached, we talk it to each other, we live it with each other. As we are engaged in the word of what God said, as we're doing that, the word of God is doing the work. It just, you know, we read the word and according to, you know, sometimes I can get animated in my mind, like, you know, don't y'all act like y'all can too. Come on now. Come on with me.
As I read this
verse and I think about it, that, you know, powerful and sharp. It's almost like I saw this little sharp arrow kind of thing with a thing that you do this like this. And the word of God is just going down, and it's making cracks to get down into your heart. And it's pushing stuff aside, and it's a shovel, and it's throwing stuff out your body.
Yes.
You know, the word of God, the word of God is doing the work.
Jesus.
As we are hearing it and doing it
and
applying it to our lives. Children of God, we talk a lot about here. We talk a lot about being sure and understanding who we are in Christ as children of God. We talk a lot about that. Because here's the belief. Here's the belief. The belief is this. When we truly get it, and we do.
We do.
To our different degrees. As we truly understand, really, we go over to the Father's house. Like, that's where we live. Now, we've been stationed here in the world. We have all kinds of influences around us. You know, so many different avenues trying to define for us who we are and what we can have and what's going to happen to us. We got a lot of that always constantly going on because we're foreigners here.
Yes.
See, we're really from from the kingdom of God. And in so doing, when we can get solid what's on the inside of us, of who we are, then we understand what we have.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And in understanding what we have, we won't settle for less. Ooh. See, I love the preaching about, as a child of God, I love the preaching that tells us by faith you can obtain this thing, and by faith you can have a divine health, and by faith you can have this prosperity, and by faith, you know, your bank account is unlimited. It's all true.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I believe, and I believe the word bears out, that when we understand that it already belongs to me because of who I am in Christ. See, it already belongs. I'm not trying to go get something.
Yeah,
it already belongs to me because I'm a child.
Jesus.
See, and the more we can get solid in understanding and applying this word of who we are in Christ Jesus, we're the children of the Most High God, the more, the easier, the clearer, the more effective we're going to walk in
Jesus.
The promises of God.
Jesus.
I know, it's not the kind of word that makes you jump up and down. I get it. You know, it's academic sometimes that we have to hear this. No, I get that. It is so much more exciting to hear about the promises of God. And we must hear that too. We must. But listen, if we're hearing it and we don't know it already belongs to us, we're working too hard to try to get something we already have.
Yes. Yes.
Say this with me. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
And I go home to the Father.
And I go home to the Father's house.
What is in the Father's house? All good things for you and I. And see, when we know that all good things are in the house of the Father, of which I belong in Jesus Christ, when bad comes, we can say, this doesn't belong to me. Why are you here? This doesn't belong to me. When lack comes, we say, no, that's foreign. It belongs to the world, but it doesn't belong to me. When threats come, and then, you know, the threat of war, we got a whole lot of threats going on right now. Like the threat of war, the threat of famine, the threat of, you know, what's it called? When the prices go up.
Inflation.
Yeah, the threat of inflation, the threat of losing jobs. We got all kinds of threats. But what does that have to do with me?
Nothing.
I'm not even from here.
Nope.
I love saying that part. I'm not even from here. Do y'all know my daddy? What's it got to do with me? And when we're solid in this, and we understand that God is faithful to what he said, he's faithful to what he promised. He's faithful.
He said it.
Well, I don't have it now. He also told you might have to wait.
Wait on the Lord.
Wait on the Lord. Yes. So, indeed, brothers and sisters, this message today, message last week, the one before that, and pretty much the ones all before that too, is for us to focus in on and understand who we are in Christ so that we can now obtain, ascertain, and apply what's already been given. Now, do we have some work? We do.
We
continue in it so that we continue to grow up in it. But let's do that work. Let's stay in that work. Let's stay in the Word. Let's stay talking to one another. Let's continue to build each other up. Let's continue to remind each other of who we are. Let's continue to carry one another's burden. Let's continue in doing who we are. Glory to God. All bless his name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless his name. Come on, pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, today. that we get the intel from heaven. Lord, it's a secret. It's a mystery to the world, but not to us. We are a species that's never been created. The first fruits we understand. In Jesus Christ, who is yours. So, Father, I pray that in these days, as you're carrying us through this understanding and this revealing, this exposing the truth of the Word of God pertaining specifically who we are and what we already have. Lord, I pray that you will continue to speak to our hearts day by day, moment by moment, as we practice your presence, Lord God, so that we grow up into a place of understanding that no matter where we stand, no matter what situation we in, first of all, you know all about it.
Yes,
where do the children go that you don't know about? And secondly, that you already have the answer for it. That we would cease from our own solutions, Lord, and our own ways of doing things and run immediately to the Father. And we thank you, Lord, that even as we grow up in this and more it becomes real into our lives, more and more, Lord, we recognize that your glory, fills us. And as we interact with other people, Lord, we're just different. And different is good because the world is looking for different. And different is good because in our different there is life. So, Lord, help us to go somewhere and spill out your life everywhere we go. And spill out your glory. And in so doing, we're doing what children do. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this service. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the celebration of our very own, Miss Viola, today.
Yes.
Lord, we understand and we know that you've been with us the whole time and you won't be leaving
now. You won't be leaving now.
And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, blessings. Hallelujah. Let us do communion.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, brother, I'm turning it over to you. Oh, Biggie's in the house, Princess is in the house. Mom Swan made it, y'all.
We got